Hello, everybody. Larry Hardesty on the scene at Rockefeller Center or for 1050 ESPN New York at 1050ESPN.com. And anywhere I'm on the scene, I always have very special guests. Today, my special guests are...
Michael Ruzioni,
Steve Janicek,
and Jim Craig.
We're talking hockey, we're talking Miracle on Ice, and we're talking to three great guys who were involved in what everybody talks about. Nobody ever forgets that fabulous day. Mike, tell me why we're here today.
Celebration of 100 days out from the Olympic Games beginning in Vancouver, as well as a celebration of the Soviet Union and the United States, the competition over the years, and what respect we have for each country and the competition that has been so solid and so exciting for so many games.
You know, Jim, it's amazing that we think of how big that match was with Russia, and Russia's not even Russia now. You know, it's things have changed over those years.
Yeah, and, you know, as Mike was saying, and as I was talking to Steve, it's great because we just signed that agreement with Russia and the United States to work together, to help the athletes, to work with the trainers, to work with the coaching. And, you know, back when we were playing, it was the Cold War. And now it was great to see Vladimir Mushkin again. And I know Steve and I, as goaltenders, haven't had a chance to really see him other than on the ice that day. So it's a really special time. And it's exciting for the Olympians that know they're going to make the team for the first time today, because we remember how nerve-wracking that was.
And Steve, take us back to that. Now, you were backup goalie on the Miracle team, and so you can feel how the anxiety of these kids getting ready as the countdown starts to make the Olympic team.
Sure. I mean, I had the best seat in the house, okay, watching these guys pull off a great upset. But yeah, the anticipation is amazing at this point in time. I mean, you've worked hard, and you don't know if you're going to make it or not, and all of a sudden you get tapped on the shoulder, and it's time to go.
Mike, how has hockey changed? I mean, over the years, I mean, it's faster. It's not as physical as it used to be. Seems like.
Oh no, it's faster. It's bigger. It's like all sports. The players today are bigger, faster, stronger. The skill level is unbelievable. It's really fun to watch the game the way it's being played right now. You know, I think the NHL with the influx of Europeans has changed drastically. The amount of Americans that are now playing in the National Hockey League has changed drastically. And the international game, when these guys come on the ice together, it's just it's quick, it's fast, it's pretty special.
Hey, Jim, is that the change that more and more Americans seem to be getting involved in hockey?
Well, I think it's an exciting sport. You know, kids today with the... You know, to hold their attention span is really hard. So I think lacrosse has become really big, and I think the sport of hockey, you know, I think our team was a nice pioneer to introduce it to other areas. But I think Gretzky going to, you know, Los Angeles and you know, all the great players. And the NHL now markets its product differently. You know, when we couldn't even say hi in between periods to the players back then. It was thought you wouldn't be as competitive. And, you know, so it's entertainment, and it's a great sport. Women have become tremendous at it, so I think it's really fun.
Steve, what was it like? I'm going to take you back now. What was it like watching these guys getting in there and saying, now, we can be honest, okay, time has passed, saying, you know, I'm better than Jim. I should be in there.
Not a chance. We were talking about that earlier. You go back and watch the tapes of the games from Lake Placid, watch it, where this guy is position-wise, you know, ready for every shot. As a goaltender, watching a goaltender, I'm still amazed after all these years. What an amazing job he did.
Hey, Mike, what confidence did it give the players for Jim to play at the level he did?
Well, I think, like, it's any big position. It's like your quarterback in football, your pitcher in baseball. If they're on their game, it sends a great message to the team. And, you know, goaltending is such an important position. If you know your goalie's playing well, it gives you an opportunity to take some chances offensively, knowing that if you make a mistake, he's going to be there for you. And it's a confidence level, I think, in hockey, not only from the goalie standpoint, even from the defenseman standpoint. You know, if you know your defensemen are going to be back there for you and they're solid, you can take some chances, you can play well. So it's such a team game, and it's so important for everybody to do their job. But it really starts out, to me, it starts with the goal, and it goes to the defense, and it moves to your forwards.
Jim, tell me about the chemistry on that team. Tell me about how you guys came together.
Well, first, you know, Steve is really humble because... He worked as hard as anybody. And, you know, as a goalie, when you have two goalies, half the team likes one, half the team likes the other, and you can be very disruptive. But he was such a team guy. And I know that he made me better for that. And so that just speaks to the chemistry that was on that team. Michael was a fabulous captain. But we were a team of captains, team of leaders, team of players who knew what it took to win, had won at every level. The year before, Steve, you guys won a national championship with Minnesota. The year before that, Boston University guys won a NCAA championship. So I think we all did our job, as Michael was saying. I think you counted on everybody to do their job. We did it. We didn't have to worry about trying to cover up for anybody, and I think that's kind of special.
Chemistry. What was the chemistry like on that team?
There was a lot of talent in that room, a lot of egos. I think Coach Brooks did a great job of kind of breaking down the egos, getting everybody to work together. But in the end, I got to tell you that you had 20 guys in there that lived and thought and breathed as one individual. And the power that comes out of that is still, after all this time, when I think back on it, it's striking. It's amazing the kind of results that you can get when the chemistry comes together in that way.
Now, Jim, you told me that Mike was a great... You had a team of captains. Mike was the captain. What made him such a good captain?
Well, Michael was older than a lot of us, and I think he always has and still does puts everything in perspective really, really well. And, you know, he wasn't a guy that kind of told people what to do. He listened, and I was fortunate enough to have him as a captain at Boston University. And I think he's a natural leader. He's a great athlete in all different sports. And... He cared, you know, and he didn't just care about himself. It wasn't a captain like an ego thing. When Michael was captain, it was a pride of all of us. He represented all of us. He's done it for 30 years. He does a good job at it. And he's a natural leader that cares about people.
You agree?
I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, still my captain after all these years.
Mike, how tough was it to captain that team? You're in a position where a lot of guys were not used to the style that Herb Brooks was bringing in. You're kind of the guy in between. You're siding with the coach, and you're with the players as well.
No, it was. I never even thought I was a captain. I never considered myself a captain. I've always said I was a captain amongst captains. You know, you look at that team. Billy Baker was a captain at Minnesota. Mark Johnson and Suter were captains at Wisconsin. Pavlich and Harrington were captains at Bowling Green. Murrow and Wells were captain. UMD. Murrow and Wells were captain at Bowling Green. Jack O'Callaghan was a two-time captain at Boston University. So, you know what? It wasn't very hard at all. We had a team of leaders, and Steve and Jimmy touched on it. It was just a great group of guys who believed in themselves, who believed in each other, who came to practice every day, willing to do whatever it would take to win and be successful. And the atmosphere in the locker room, the chemistry that they talked about was spectacular. 30 years later, it still is.
Mike, tell me about Herb Brooks.
Well, Herb was just a great coach. I've said many times it was a great marriage. I don't think we could have won without Herb, and I don't think Herb could have won without us. And yet he was the guy that orchestrated everything. He was a man of great honesty, sometimes brutally honest. But the one thing the guy had was he had a passion to coach and teach. And he wore that jersey with great pride. And you could tell, you know, it was an honor for him to coach a U.S. Olympic hockey team. Not only did he play in a couple of them, but I think to coach that team was a great honor. And he instilled a lot of that in us.
Jim, when we talk about Herb Brooks and his style, how good was that style for guys who had just come out of college who were mostly amateur athletes?
Well, I think people forget the vision of Brooks. In 1979, he brought about seven of us over the World Championships in Moscow. We didn't know any better, but he was testing the style out. And he what he did is he said he's going to beat them at their own game, skating. And he really took the best of the North American style with the Canadian European style and created his style. And our players are tough enough to be pushed and pulled and really, really talented. I don't think Michael or Steve, we realize how talented these guys really were because we were told at that time a college player wasn't a good player for hockey. You had to be in the, you know, in the juniors and stuff like that. So I think his style of play really suited our players really, really well. And it was a game of puck possession. And his saying was, you work too hard to get the puck. Why would you give it up? You know, And he has some great players, and as Michael said and Steve, they all accepted the role and fell in the line pretty quickly based on the talent that was out there.
A couple more questions, guys. I know it's getting a little chilly out here,
yeah.
So we'll speed this up. Take me back now to the game, the gold medal game. Your thoughts after beating Russia going for that gold medal, Steve, what was that like?
Well, it had the potential of being an incredible letdown, right? You beat the Russians, you beat the greatest team in the world, and then you come back a couple of days later and you actually have to play for the gold medal. And I thought Brooks did a good job of laying the foundation before that game. Everybody realized that it was going to be the biggest game they ever played in their lives. But, you know, these guys went out and played one heck of a game. It's, you know, I... I owe my medal to them. I met my wife there, you know, so I've got a wife and a medal out of the deal because these guys did a great job.
The mental aspect of the team, after you beat Russia, as Steve mentioned, you have a chance now for a letdown.
Well, we didn't go to the Olympic Games to win one game. And I think the good thing was we had a day off in between. We beat the Soviets on Friday night. Saturday morning's practice was one of the hardest practices we had all year. I mean, he skated our butts off, and he was trying to bring us down to earth. And, you know, again, the bottom line was, you know, we didn't go to the Olympic Games to win one hockey game. And we realized that the Russian game was an amazing victory, but if we had lost to Finland, the Russian game wouldn't have meant anything to us. You know, we went into the games hoping to win the ultimate medal. We didn't know which one it was going to be. We thought a medal was very possible. And now that we had beaten the Soviets, the Finns weren't going to stop us from winning the ultimate prize. And I think the team and the chemistry and the type of players we had weren't going to let that happen, and obviously we didn't.
Jim, those last two games, many people said you stood on your head a couple of times in those games. Take me through your thoughts as the clock is finally winding down. I know it took forever to end the game, but take me through your thoughts as it's coming near the end and you realize that you're making that dream happen.
Well, as a goalie, you can't go out and be aggressive. You have to wait and see what happens, and you have to react on situations. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to get too excited and get so pumped up that you're overthinking it. It takes great discipline, and it takes a lot of practice and having, you know, I practice against unbelievable players for a long time. But my biggest thing was you don't want to let in a bad goal that's going to deflate the team. You just want to make sure that you really, you know, play up to your capabilities and just give them a chance to win.
As we close, guys, let's spin our fans up today. What are you doing now, Mike?
I do a bunch of different things. I work at Boston University. I've been working there 15 years and kind of director of special projects, special outreach program. I do a lot of motivational speaking. I'm a part owner of a hockey team out in Omaha, Nebraska. I coach a high school hockey team. I'm an assistant coach for my high school in Winthrop High, and I'm an ambassador for Ritz-Carlton Properties. I promote Ritz-Carlton Marriott properties around the country.
Motivational speaker. I wonder what you'd be motivating. I wonder what your background is on doing stuff like that, huh?
Well, some people listen, some don't.
I would ask you about the Rangers, but we're running out of time. Jim, what are you doing now?
I have a company called Gold Medal Strategies. We go around doing motivational speaking as well as sales training. I work for WL Gore to raise awareness for abdominal aortic aneurysms. And I coach my daughter's team and try to help out with the women's Olympic team anytime I can.
Are you the dad type coach? Come on, be honest, Jim. Are you like, come on, get in there, you know what you should be doing? Or are you the, come on, honey, that's the best way to go? What are you, or a little bit of both?
I think what happens, you give these women a chance to succeed, and you hold them accountable. And you try to teach the kids that it's not me that's going to do it or the coaching staff, it's going to be them in their locker room. And I think we learned that from the great players that I was with.
Steve?
I work for Robert W. Baird & Company based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm an institutional bond salesman. Been working in the finance business for 25 years.
Well, guys, it was great having you here. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm Larry Hardesty. We're on the scene for 1050 ESPN and 1050ESPNRadio.com.